Invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. If you do not have a Bible with you this morning, there are pew Bibles in the pew racks in front of you. Our passage is found on page 1007 in those pew Bibles. We come back this morning after a month of focusing on Advent sermons on the coming of Christ into the world. We come back and pick up once again with the study of Hebrews that we've been in now for several months. And this morning we come to a great chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, this great faith chapter. So far we have seen the writer giving repeated calls to endurance, to cling to Christ, to continue to walk with Christ, to endure even in the face of hardship and trials. And really critical to this, at the heart of this, is living by faith. And that's what we see in our passage this morning. Living by faith as we begin this great faith chapter of God's Word. So pay attention, read along with me as I read this morning Hebrews 11 verses 1 to 3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And thus far, God's holy, inerrant word, may he write its truth on our hearts this morning. Let's go to him in prayer. Our God, how we thank you that you are great and mighty. And you do mighty things, though you yourself are unseen, invisible, and eternal and unchangeable. And, oh God, we pray that you would increase our faith, especially as we live in the midst of an increasingly faithless world. God, write your word on our hearts this morning, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. One of the regular movies that we watch during the Christmas season. So suppose most of you have your specific movies that you watch. But one of ours is Miracle on 34th Street. Of course, when you're watching any of these Christmas movies during the Christmas season, you have to suspend reality. And you also need to put aside any desire for good or solid theology. So we know that going into these movies. But in Miracle on 34th Street, there is this line that has to do with faith, where the mother says to the little girl, faith is believing in things when common sense tells you not to. Faith is believing in things when common sense tells you not to. In other words, in that understanding and definition of faith, faith is irrational, illogical, and it is not at all a thinking thing. And that is completely contrary to what the Bible teaches us about faith, contrary to what a true faith is. We're going to reflect on faith over the next several weeks as we work our way through this lengthy but wonderful chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. The word faith is used 25 times in this chapter. It's used 33 in all of Hebrews. So 25. And if that, you actually add the last two verses of chapter 10, 38 and 39, you've got 27 of 33 uses of faith just in this one portion of this book. faith is vital, central to the Christian life. Look at verse 6 of chapter 11. We'll come back to this next week. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is vital. God is the object of our faith. And it is God that we believe both exists and rewards those who seek him, verse 6 tells us. Hebrews is a call for God's people to press on, to keep moving forward in the faith, to keep moving forward against all obstacles. And we face obstacles in our faith, don't we, every day. And it is increasingly more difficult in this world today to live out a true and open faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to press on. We're to persevere. We are to live by faith, even though we may not see and do not see the object of our faith and may not see the rewards of our faith in this life, is what we are told here. And what we see here in Hebrews chapter 11 are examples of saints of old who have pressed on in faith, this great cloud of witnesses, as the writer is going to call them later, who have pressed on in obedience to God and following God, even though they did not see in this life any kind of reward for their faith. In fact, many of them faced death because of their faith. But that is the strong faith that Scripture tells us that we are to follow. Verses 39 and 40, the very end of this chapter, tells us that all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, that is, in this life, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. In verse 13, we read that these people are called strangers and exiles. That is, this world is not their home. They're on their way to their heavenly home. In other words, living by faith is difficult. Living by faith in this life carries with it a sense of disorientation to this world as we look for and press on to our heavenly home. Now, I want us to briefly look at three things this morning. We're going to see the nature of faith, an example of faith, and the importance of faith. We're going to go verses 1, 3, 2. The nature of faith, an example of faith, the importance of faith. First of all, the nature of faith. We see it here in verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The first thing we need to recognize is that this is not a definition of faith. It is not a definition of faith. Someone asks you, what is faith in the Bible? And you give this, you'll be partly right, but you won't be fully right. It's not a definition. It is a description, as one writer puts it, of how faith works. A description here of how faith works. It is, though, again, a critical part of what is entailed in biblical faith and what is entailed in saving faith. We could put it differently. Faith in the Bible, the Scripture teaches us, is vital for our salvation. We are saved by faith. We are justified by faith. But we are also called to live by faith. live the Christian life by faith. We don't come to faith in Christ and then set faith aside. We live by faith, called to live by faith day by day. And really, that is the sense of this chapter. He's not talking here in one sense about saving faith necessarily. It's what it means to live by faith. And he uses two words in particular, two words in two phrases. The first is, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The assurance is how the ESV translates it, of things hoped for. Now, the problem with this word is it has the Greek word has a variety of meanings. One is it can mean substance or an essence. For you philosophy studiers, the word here, the Greek word, is actually hypostasis, which comes over into the English as hypostasis, H-Y-P, et cetera, which means the essence of something or the substance of something. This word is actually used that way back in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, where we read that Christ is the exact imprint of God's hypostasis, his nature, his essence, his being. The word can also mean foundation. Literally, the word means hupo, under, stasis, to stand, something that stands under something else, which is the foundation of something else. But I think more to the point here, and I think the ESV is correct in its translation, it can have the sense of either an attestation, was used this way on documents that indicated the deed basically to a house. It attested to someone's ownership. Attestation, or simply assurance or confidence. It's used that way as confidence or assurance back in 3:14. And of course, we see the word here, assurance, being used. It is a confidence. It is a confidence in who God is. The two really are tied together. The all these meanings are in some ways tied together. The objective is the foundation, right? The underlying reality. But here it's used in a subjective sense based on that objective reality. Subjective sense based on that objective reality. Assurance. Being assured of who God is. Being assured of God's promises. Having this foundation. And so going from this foundation, we now live with the assurance of God's goodness and God's grace and God's basic existence. So the assurance, and it's tied to the second phrase here, the conviction of things not seen. The conviction of things not seen. Physical sight gives us evidence of visible things. It gives us conviction of visible things. What do we say? Seeing is believing. Right? Evidence, conviction of visible things. Well, faith gives us conviction of what we don't see, or we don't necessarily see. Conviction of the invisible. One commentator puts it this way: faith here is an active conviction, a vital certainty, which impels the believer to stretch out his hand and lay hold on those realities in which his hope and is fixed, and which, though unseen, are already his in Christ. That's what this is, what faith is. Faith is living, in other words, in bold confidence even though we do not see physically with our eyes the object of our faith. As another writer puts it, faith takes possession by anticipation of heavenly blessings. Takes possession by anticipation of heavenly blessings. So let me ask you the key question this morning. Do you have this faith? Do you have this assurance? Is it a part of your Christian life? Is it a part of your daily existence in your relationship with God? Many Christians struggle. Many great Christians historically have struggled. The great hymn writer, William Cowper, although it's spelled Cowper, just to keep it different from the William Cowper that's here. He struggled with faith. This wonderful hymn writer, close friend of John Newton, he struggled with a sense of assurance. In fact, that was true of many Puritans. Even on their dying beds, some of them were uncertain of their faith and of their salvation. We can certainly enter heaven without it, without assurance. But it makes life much more pleasant when we have it. Much more pleasant with it. Thomas Brooks, this Puritan writer, classic work on assurance, heaven on earth, writes this: assurance is the believer's ark, a heaven here and hereafter. Assurance is the believer's ark. It goes on to say it is a heaven here and hereafter. There are different ways we can find assurance. We'll talk about those, some of those, as we move along this morning. But there's no better way than simply being in the Word and sitting under the means of grace. No better way to have assurance in your lives. So first of all, we see the nature of faith. Secondly, we see an example of faith. Skip to verse 3. An example of faith. The writer says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith we understand that. From this verse forward, by the way, we're going to see up until the very end, example after example, almost completely in biblical order, of different people who lived by faith. Here in biblical order, starting with here in Genesis chapter 1. And so here we see Genesis chapter 1. We believe by faith that the universe was created by the word of God. God spoke Genesis 1:3, and creation came into being. He created by his word. He says here, what is seen was not made by things that are visible, verse 3 tells us. What is this? It is creation ex nihilo, creation out of nothing, is what this indicates in Hebrews 11:1. Greek thought in the writer's day believed that creation came together out of existing matter. Of course, we have the popular theory today of the Big Bang theory of how the world came into being. I don't know about you, but those to me take a lot more faith to believe, in one sense, than that God simply created, as Scripture tells us. But we believe by faith. We weren't there, right? We didn't see it. That's what he's telling us. And so by faith, we believe. Why? because we believe the Bible's testimony. We believe God's own testimony. We take His word as authoritative. Really, I think that's part of the point here. The call here is to take God at His word. That's what it means to live by faith. To take God at His word. Believe what God has said. Follow what God tells us to do. God's word is true. The very word of God. And it is powerful. God's word tells us how to live in the world that God has created. Take God at His word. In other words, to live contrary to God's word is to live in a sense a dying life, a dead life. It's to live in a way that brings about destruction. God knows best how to live in the world that He has created. And when we contradict that, when we go against that, when we disobey that, we act to our own peril and to our own destruction. And yet at the same time, there are also blessings in obedience. Blessings in obedience. We see this over and over and over again in Scripture. We see the famous scene in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 27 and 28, where we have these two groups of Israelites calling out blessings, as God instructs, blessings for obedience to God's word, but curses for disobedience to God's word. Literally over and over again, cursed be, cursed be, cursed be, but blessed be, blessed be, blessed be. We need to take God at His word. We need to live as He commands us to live. Again, Thomas Brooks in Heaven on Earth says this: faith is the key that unlocks paradise and lets a flood of joy into the soul. Faith is the key that unlocks paradise and lets a flood of joy into the soul. Third and finally, this morning, we see the importance of faith. The importance of faith. We see the nature of faith, an example of faith, and the importance of faith. Look at verse 2. For by it, that is by faith, the people of old received their commendation. They received their commendation. What is that commendation? They found favor with God. They found approval with God. They were received. Those who have gone before have been received into glory. And God has welcomed them. They are, in fact, the great cloud of witnesses that we see later in this chapter. They have been those who have been received with the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." They are those who, first of all, were right with God by faith alone. Faith alone did not arise just in New Testament times. Many people commonly think, well, the Old Testament was a testament of works. The New Testament is a testament of faith. There's always been a command to obey God. We have that as well. But faith has always been the way God's people have been saved. Always been the way that God's people have been right with God. We're saved by faith alone. But true saving faith always includes faithfulness. True saving faith always shows itself in faithfulness, in a faithful life. As one has put it, we're saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. Saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. What does that mean? It produces good works. It shows itself in our lives. John Owen, another Puritan writer, said, "It is faith alone which from the beginning of the world in all ages, under all dispensations of divine grace, has been the only principle in the church of living to God, of obtaining promises, of inheriting eternal life, and continues to be so unto the consummation of all things." It's always been the way God has worked. And yet goes on to point out that it is not to be separated from a faithful life. As Jesus again in his parable says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or James puts it, that faith without works is dead. A dead faith. So we are called here to look beyond the seen to the unseen. This is not irrational. It is not illogical. I think we could perhaps use the words irrational, illogical about various beliefs out there. But faith is not that. Faith is trust and rest in the revelation of God, in God's word as he revealed it to his people. Hywel Jones, in his commentary, talks about these Hebrew Christians, and he sums things up in this way. These Hebrew Christians, he says, were distracted or preoccupied with what was visible: the land, the temple, its services, the earthly city. They saw all this through a powerful microscope, whereas the non-visible world was being viewed through the wrong end of a telescope. As a result, they were crippled and weakened in faith. The confidence and endurance that they lacked could only be recovered by an awareness of the reality of the unseen and a conviction of greater glory. How often we are tempted to look at the scene, to look at what is before us, to look at our trials, to look at our hardships, to look at the sin, the evil in the world around us, and to have that be our focus. Why? Because it's right there. It's right there. It's in our face. It's before our eyes. Daily and many times, and often many times a day. When we do that, as Jones puts it, we become crippled and weakened in faith when we're focusing on the here and now. We need to recover this, as he puts it, by an awareness of the reality of the unseen and the greater glory that is found in God. A key way to do this, I said briefly at the beginning, is by God's means of grace, his word, prayer, sacraments, corporate worship of God's people. We can't see Christ physically when we come and we gather together, but we hear in his word. Scripture tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can know Christ as he has revealed himself to us. And especially this morning, as we come to partake of the sacrament of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't see him, but all of our other senses are are engaged here in the taking of the sacrament this morning. We can touch, we can smell, we can actually see the sacrament itself. We hear the words of institution. One of the great benefits of the Lord's Supper is that it includes other senses into the Christian life and into our growth in Christ. That's why it is such an important. We don't want it to overrule or take precedence over the Word of God, but an important means for us to grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's prepare our hearts now as we prepare to come to the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you that you are a God who would be known by your people. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who was indeed the Word made flesh, who was seen for a time and will be seen once again when he comes again in power and glory. And so as we come by faith today to worship you, to know Christ, to be strengthened in Christ, oh God, we pray that you would keep us faithful to the very end. To your glory, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.